Okay, well, let's switch gears here because we've got a follow-up to a story we brought to you yesterday. Yesterday, we talked about a pair of major reports presented to the Senate Intelligence Committee about Russia's attempts to influence African-American voters through social media. We spoke with Renee DiResta. She's director of research at the firm New Knowledge that authored one of those reports.
On a multi-year influence operation, it wasn't necessarily focused on the political, though that was, of course, a part of it. They created a number of pages, 88, I think, on Facebook and 133 on Instagram, and those were segmented across various facets of U.S. society, including Facebook, I believe, 30 pages targeting the African-American community.
That was DiResta on our program yesterday. Well, last night, after our show was broadcast, the New York Times published a story reporting that the firm New Knowledge was part of a group of Democratic tech experts who tried to use similarly deceptive social media tactics in the 2017 Alabama Senate special election. Now, DiResta did not work for the company at the time, but The Times reports that she has a small role to play in this story. Now, we reached out to Renee DiResta and have not heard back from her, but joining us now with more is Scott Shane. He reported or co-reported the story for the New York Times. We have a link at onpointradio.org. He joins us from Baltimore. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hi, Meghna.
Okay, so first of all, tell us a little bit more about what you reported about what this group of Democratic operatives attempted to do in the Alabama special election using social media techniques. What did they try to do?
Well, I have to say that the people who did this were not eager to talk about it. And so I'm not sure we have every detail, but essentially they deliberately experimented with what you might call the Russian techniques on social media. One of the things they did was they created a conservative page, though they were not conservatives, oriented to or designed to attract conservatives in Alabama. And they used that, among other things, to try to split the Republican electorate. They also used it to communicate with a write-in candidate whose candidacy they supported with the idea of drawing votes away from the Republican Roy Moore and sort of draining votes from him. And that was, you know, certainly a fraudulent move in the sense that they were posing as conservatives and they weren't mm-hmm. conservatives. And then something that remains a little murkier, but they, in a report that I obtained about this operation, they describe it as an elaborate false flag operation that planted the idea that the Moore campaign was amplified on social media by a Russian botnet. Essentially, there were a bunch of stories in the mainstream press saying, geez, there's all these Russians who are following Roy Moore on Twitter. And, you know, it was sort of an embarrassment for the Moore campaign, and they said maybe it was a dirty trick, and no one really knew what where this came from. And we don't know exactly what was done, whether these operators actually purchased, as one can do, essentially bought Twitter accounts and, you know, sent them after Roy Moore, or how exactly it worked. But in any case, they seem to have done something to try to discredit the Moore campaign on Twitter.
Okay. So now, to be clear, one, as you're reporting, one of the participants in this, what, $100,000 Democratic operation was Jonathan Morgan, the chief executive of New Knowledge. And just to remind folks again, New Knowledge is the firm that wrote one of these reports that was just submitted to the Senate Intelligence Committee about Russian interference or Russian use of social media. So, but let me ask you, I mean, the reason why we definitely wanted to talk to you today is, as I mentioned at the beginning, we spoke with Renee DiResta, who's with New Knowledge now, and you talked to her as well, even though she didn't work for the company at the time in 2017. What role does she have to play in this story?
Yeah, well, let me make a couple things clear. One thing is, as far as we can tell, the Democratic campaign, Doug Jones' campaign, knew nothing about this and had no role in it, and literally learned about it in the last couple of days when we started calling them. So they had nothing to do with it. And according to Jonathan Morgan, the CEO of New Knowledge, as you point out, New Knowledge as a company had nothing to do with it. This was sort of a side project that he participated in. And early on, he asked Renee DiResta essentially for advice on this. And according to both of them, he called her up and said, hey, we want to sort of do an experiment where we test out some of these sort of Russian-style techniques and try to understand them better. What are, you know, what are some of the things we could do? What are some of the things you can do on social media that we might sort of do and test? And he describes this as sort of an academic exercise. And she claims that she was not paid for it and really was just sort of a very early consultant in this process.
Yeah. Well, and you quote her as saying that there were people who believed the Democrats needed to fight fire with fire and that she disagreed with that. Scott, I'm just, we have to, like 30 seconds here to go. I just want one last thing. I mean, so this is quite an eye-opening piece of reporting from you. It is a little jarring to hear some of these Democrats say this is like an academic exercise, but it was done in the context of a real-life special election, a hotly contested one at that.
Absolutely, and one with a very a close finish. And the report, unlike the people we interviewed, the report, the written report on this project, essentially brags about having an influence on the voters. I think the real significance here is that these techniques are out there. People know about them from what happened, what the Russians did in 2016. And there are people in both the Republican and Democratic Party who are, on the one hand, intrigued about this stuff, and on the other hand, terrified that this is going to become a sort of race to the bottom where everything on social media will be tainted.
Yeah. Well, Scott Shane, national security reporter for the New York Times. We have a link to his story at onpointradio.org. Scott, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Megan, for having me on.
I'm Megan Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.
Support for On Point comes from Carbonite, offering secure data protection solutions for growing businesses, including automatic backup for servers and computers, high availability and disaster recovery solutions, and automated data migration. Learn more at carbonite.com. And WBUR and the Boston Globe with Last Seen, the new true crime podcast, investigating the largest unsolved art heist in history. Full season now available. Listen on Apple Podcasts.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Next at 11 o'clock in the second hour of On Point, a conversation with the San Francisco Chronicle's new restaurant critic, Soleil Ho. Increasing clouds today in Boston with a high around 50 degrees. Tonight, a flood watch takes effect through tomorrow night. Rain likely tonight, lows in the low 40s. Tomorrow, a rainy Friday, a chance of thunderstorms and a high around 60 degrees.
WBUR supporters include Henry Bears Park, helping discover the joy of play for all ages, a toy store filled with toys, games, puzzles, and books, 7 locations, and henrybear.com.
The city of Boston has been working to house people who've been homeless for long periods. Brian De Silva just got an apartment.
I'm happy. It'd be sleeping on a cot at a shelter, and I'll have my own space.
I'm Lynn Joliker, a home just in time for Christmas. Today on WBUR's All Things Considered, between 4 and 6:30, here on 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station.
From Boston University, you're listening to 90.9 WBUR FM Boston, home of Boston's largest radio news.